And we're back here at the Cider House. Great to have you with us. As always, I'm Andy Strickland. Our Jeff Rainford is here. This is brought to you by Four Hands Brewing Company. Great local company, Jeff. You got to know
like
about
it.
Four Hands, right?
Hey, I like it. I like, you know, my wife and I sometimes diverge in this. I don't have a problem with them, but mm-hmm. I much prefer to use local restaurants, local brew pubs.
Yes.
And it's not just because we're keeping the money in the economy and supporting local people. It's, I think, you get better food, more interesting beer, more interesting atmosphere. I just like local places.
Yeah. And Slider House is one of them. Have you been here before?
I haven't. Although I ride my bike in this area. I'm kind of a big cyclist, mm-hmm. and I make a loop that I go back past here a lot. And it's been amazing to watch all the development, you know, here at Manchester and McKnight.
Yeah.
I always knew it as Rock Hill, but Manchester and McKnight. I mean, it's amazing what's happened here. Yeah,
all right.
A cool place.
All right, listen, give me your background here because, you know, you and I have talked for a number of years, and it seems like anything that's involving the city of St. Louis always comes back to involve Jeff Rainford. And it did for a long time, obviously, being the chief of staff with the former Mayor Slay. But now you obviously are no longer in that position, but you're still heavily involved. What were you doing before being the chief of staff with Mayor Slay, and what exactly are you doing now?
So, believe it or not, for people who are a lot younger, I actually went to the University of Missouri and graduated from the journalism school. Started out as a reporter at KMOX, and then went on to Channel 4. And then after that, I moved into politics. Around 1993, I started running campaigns and did that until 2000 when a group of us went to then the president of the Board of Aldermen, Francis Slay, and said, you know, President Slay, we need, this city is floundering. We need a new mayor. Convinced him to run for mayor. I ran his campaign.
How did you know him?
So I had run his campaign, and actually he and I met cold for the first time in like 1994. I ran his campaign, for his first citywide campaign for president of Alderman in 1995.
Wow.
And that's how I got to know him and his family, and we've been close ever since. And then I ran his campaign in 2001. Remember, he ran against, then the incumbent was Clarence Harmon, and then Freeman Bosley, the previous mayor, ran. And Francis got more votes than the two of them combined, and so he got elected and, you know, I consider it to be a landslide. And then he asked me to be his chief of staff. Thought I would only do it for a couple of years, but ended up doing it for 14 years.
Mm.
So what I tell people is, I mean, it's one of the hardest jobs in America is being the mayor of a city. And so the second hardest job is being the chief of staff to a mayor of a city. And so just through trial and error and a lot of error, I did learn a lot of stuff about how stuff works, how to make things work at the local level. And it's kind of my specialty. It's not just the city, but it is pretty much local. Don't do much in Jeff City or in Washington. But, you know, I learned, again, mostly by making mistakes, I learned how stuff works. So I kind of know how stuff works.
All right. So what's your take on the city of St. Louis right now in terms of where we're at? Because obviously it's taken a hit reputation-wise nationally. I mean, I had a friend who was in town from Seattle, another friend who was in town from Denver recently, and they see what's on the news, and I don't think it presents a pretty picture or always an accurate picture either of what's going on here in St. Louis. But where are we right now? I mean, in terms of really moving forward, are you happy with the progression, or you think there's a lot of steps we need to make to really get things going?
Well, first of all, I think we have the right person as mayor in Lyda Crewson. Mm-hmm. I think she's the right person. She's new. I can tell you this from firsthand knowledge, nothing prepares you to be the mayor of a city. I don't care, unless you're the mayor of another city.
Mm.
Nothing prepares you for that. So, you know, I think there's a steep learning curve anyway, and I think she's moving through that learning curve really fast. Listen, we don't have to beat around the bush. Number one issue in the city of St. Louis is crime. If we wave the golden wand and crime went away, the city would flourish because everything else is lines up. The quality of life, the neighborhoods, the houses. I mean, I live in the city. I live near Forest Park. It's the best urban park in America. We have one of the best zoos in America. And listen, we have everything in the city of St. Louis that they have in New York City, San Francisco, or wherever, except that it's either free or cheap and it's easy to get to. It doesn't take you all day, you know, to go to the art museum, whereas you go to the MoMA in New York and it takes all day.
Mm-hmm.
We have everything you need, great restaurants, you know, really a cool young, and, you know, I go to bed by 9 o'clock, so I missed all the nightlife. But, you know, there's a real young vibe in a lot of neighborhoods in this city, whether it's Cherokee, South Grand, wherever it may be. You get the Central West End, which has all kinds of really great stuff and great places to live, whether it's an apartment or, in my case, a 100-year-old house. But we got to deal with the crime, and we're going to have to, you know, we're on a track. that we're going to have 200 murders this year. Now, you said there's some of that is perception, and that is true. Most of the victims of violent crime are themselves either have committed crimes before or are involved in crimes. There are innocent victims. I'm not saying they're not. But a big chunk of them, you know, these are criminals shooting at criminals. Mm. But we've got, in some of our neighborhoods, seven or eight of them, most of them concentrated in North St. Louis, one of them in Southeast St. Louis. People who live there who are law-abiding are trapped in their own neighborhoods. They, you know, you go interview them, and they'll say, we listen to bullets whizzing by every night. That's unacceptable. And watching the news every night and seeing the mayhem, people are like, they can't differentiate that, like where I live, I've never been a victim of crime in the 20 years I've lived in the city. People don't differentiate that way. So it's clearly for the reasons of the crime victims themselves, their families, the people who are trapped in dangerous neighborhoods, and the perception of the city, it's the number one issue. And so we're coming up on a new chief. And if I were the, you know, the mayor or the chief of staff to the mayor, which I am not, I would be asking the eight candidates for chief that they're going to interview, what can you in the police department, working with the circuit attorney's office and the U.S. attorney, what can you make the violence go down? And to me, that's how I would pick the chief. Some people want to talk about protests. What are you going to do about protests and mm-hmm. this? That is an issue. To me, the number one issue for the new chief is, tell me your plan. What will you do with what you have, and what do you need to make the violence go down?
And if you were the chief of staff and you're involved in interviewing these particular candidates, what do you want to hear from these particular candidates?
So what I don't want to hear is if they say, well, there's nothing the police and prosecutors can do about violence. We can only wait until there's violence, and then we arrest the violent people. Mm-hmm. They're already eliminated from consideration. Then I want to hear, what is their plan? How are they going to deploy the 1,300 men and women in the department to make the violence go down? They can't make it go away. There are other issues that are outside of police control, like poverty and broken families that they can't control. But how are you going to make that violence go down? Let me give you an example. In 2003, we'd only been in office like 2 years. The then U.S. attorney, I think it was Jim Martin, was like a partner. Even though he's the federal government, he was more than willing to prosecute violent criminals. And we had 94 murders that year. We're on a track to having 200 this year. So I would want to hear from the chief, how are you going to use the other resources, the U.S. Marshal, the U.S. attorney, the circuit attorney, you know, the business community, whatever it is, how are you going to marshal all these resources that you're at the center of and make this violence go down? They can't make it go away, and that's unrealistic. But 200 murders is far too many. I get when you say 94, it's still 94 human beings that lost their lives, and one murder is one murder too many. But 94 is a heck of a lot better than 200.
All right, what's the timetable for getting a new chief in place, though? What's the timetable for getting a new chief in place?
I think they're supposed to have it done by December the 15th.
Okay. And getting it done by December the 15th. And
they've got eight candidates.
And the background, what's the important background, though, of a we're having some audio issues here. We're good? Can you hear me okay? We'll get that sorted out. All right, we'll get that correct.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll hear.
But the background of a particular candidate for the chief, they need to have what type of background?
Well, first of all, I believe there's three internal candidates and five external candidates. So if you're an external candidate, you either are the number two or three person in a big city department, mm-hmm. or you're the chief in a mid. You're in chief in a mid-sized department. And if you're in the city, if you're already in the city, you're either. You know, I'm pretty sure the current acting chief, Larry O'Toole's one of the eight candidates, so he has been a chief, or you're going to be a senior commander. So you know how you got to know everything about a police department, from, you know, how to reduce violent crime, how to run the detective bureau. Are you going to have a gang unit? You got to know about budgets, politics. You know, you run the whole show. So you really want somebody who's run something, mm-hmm. run a police department, or been very high ranking in a department before. You want somebody who also, secondly, then has some ideas. You know, aren't just going to come in and be a caretaker and just show up and, like, I'll figure it out as I go. They know exactly what they want to do to achieve what you as the mayor and the citizens of the city want, which is, I believe, first and foremost, they want the violence to go down. We can deal, again, with protest issues and how you interact with protesters, how you deal with traffic and other things. But first and foremost, there's too much violence, and what are you going to do? And if you've ever done it before, that would be a nice bonus.
All right. Jeff Rainford is with us. I'm Andy Strickland. So much talk about the need for a city-county merger. How much would that solve a lot of these issues, and how realistic is that?
Well, realistic is that it's going to happen eventually, and I don't know when eventually.
You believe it will happen?
I do, and here's why. I think it's a generational thing. People your age are like this, you know, because they didn't grow up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s when people were fleeing the city for the county, right? So they don't know all the history, and they're like, this is the structure we have is stupid. So when people your age and maybe even a little older end up being a majority of the voters in the city and the county, for sure it's going to happen. Whether it happens sooner, that kind of depends on what's proposed and how it comes together.
How can
it's
it
a
happen?
Real generation.
How does that happen, though?
So what are the ways for it to happen?
Correct.
There's really only two primary ways for it to happen. One is the city and the county are set up really under the Constitution of the state of Missouri. So one way to make it happen would be to have a statewide vote to change the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Now, that could have a local component and say, we're going to change the Constitution subject to a local vote. The second way is a complicated thing called the Board of Freeholders, which is enshrined in state law, where the mayor, I think, appoints nine people, the county executive nine people. They come together, they put together a plan, and then they submit it to the local voters. So those are the two primary ways that it could occur.
Okay. All right. That's Jeff Brainford. I'm Andy Strickland. We'll take a break. We'll come back and continue with more from the former chief of staff of Mayor Slay and now the head of Rainford & Associates. He's got a lot of stuff going on, and also the Blues spokesman for the Keel Center Partners, who are in a legal issue right now, and maybe we'll touch on that as well. Lots of stuff to get into live from the Slider House at the corner of McKnight and Manchester. Come on by for lunch. They've got the largest selection of canned craft beers of anywhere else in St. Louis. Also a patio that's voted number one patio in St. Louis, although today may not be the best day for the patio. But the canned craft beer selection, the cider selection is unbelievable, and that obviously includes Four Hands Brewing Company, a proud sponsor of what we do here on Fridays live from the Slider House. I'm Andy Strickland with Jeff Rainford. We'll take a break and come back with much, much more. Don't go anywhere.